Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're concluding our study of this letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus. We are in chapter 6. We're going to start back in verse 18 and read through the end of the chapter. And this is God's word. "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Point number one, pray, 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 pray. Four times in these verses, the Apostle Paul exhorts the Ephesians to pray. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. We're commanded to pray. But he says we should pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. There have been times when I went to pray and the Lord redirected what I was going to say. It was just very clear down deep. I knew that, no, I wasn't supposed to pray this. I was supposed to pray that. And I didn't always like that. And sometimes I prayed just what the Lord put in my heart, not knowing that God was directing me because of something that was about to happen. And then the prayer would make that much more sense. It wasn't that because of what you prayed, God did this. It's because of what was going to happen that God was up to, he guided me to pray this instead of that. So I don't know what you're talking about. Well, then practice praying. It's not making speeches. It's having a conversation with God. Think about that. The privilege, the astounding privilege that we have of conversing with the ruler of the universe. God says, talk to me. Spend time with me. I want to hear from you. And it's not because God doesn't know what we have to say. God knows everything ahead of time. There's nothing about us God doesn't know. The Bible says, before a word is on my tongue, you know what I'm going to say. God isn't waiting to hear from us so that we can give him new information and he can say, oh, when did that happen? Sometimes we pray as if that were so. Lord, you know that this person, she's related to so-and-so. And I got that. Okay. God knows everything, but he wants to hear from us. Two of my grandkids have been with us the last few days. They're with us here this morning. We're glad you're here, fellas. I don't think that I've really gained a lot of educational information from the things they've said while they've been with us. It's not like, wow, I didn't know that. Now, they're bright guys, but they're how old? 4 and 6? It's not that. The reason we like to hear them talk is because we love them. We love them. And the reason God wants to hear from us is because he loves us. And so we are commanded to pray because we need that. And God wants to talk with you. He wants to speak to you through his word, and he wants you to speak to him from your heart. Now, pray, 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 pray. And what should we pray? Well, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You have a prayer list? I recommend it. Have a list of people that you're praying for on a regular basis. On my list, I've got a bunch of preachers, because let me tell you something, preachers need prayer. This one sure does. Pray for the saints. But I also have some people on my list that I'm praying are going to get saved. It's good to have a 10 most wanted list. Who are you praying for? I have prayed for people that I know and interact with, and I've prayed for people that I'm not likely to meet in person, or that maybe I met once and not likely to meet again. You understand? Pray. Have a list. Pray for people who don't know Jesus yet, and pray for those of us who do. Note specifically what the Apostle Paul wanted them to pray for him. Look at this. Verse 19. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Okay, did you catch that? He's in chains. Paul is in chains. And he isn't asking them to pray for him to get out of the chains. He wants them to pray that he will be an effective ambassador for Jesus Christ and fearlessly proclaim the good news. Is that what you would ask people to pray for if you'd been locked up in prison? That's what he was praying for. He was praying that he'd be an effective witness for Christ, because what matters is not our temporary circumstances. What matters is that we are faithful wherever God puts us in representing him. And that was his prayer request. Not get me out of here, but Lord, make me fearless in telling people the good news. Many of our listeners already give financially to support the children at Ware's Valley Ranch, and I want to say thank you. I'm so grateful. Now, if you've never supported us, or if you'd like to do so on a consistent basis, I want to ask that you consider becoming a monthly donor. With a gift of as little as $5 per month, you'll become what we call a ranch hand. Ranch hands receive special communications from us with opportunities to serve at the ranch as volunteers. If you can't come to the ranch, we ask you to become an advocate and a prayer warrior for these events where you are. In addition, you'll receive a t-shirt that we encourage you to wear as you volunteer at the ranch or wherever you are, to provide opportunities for sharing about how God has provided a safe haven to children all across our country through Ware's Valley Ranch. To join Ranch Hands, go to wvr.org and click on Donate. Once you select the amount you want to give each month, click in the box that says, Show My Support by making this a recurring donation.
In addition to providing consistent funding for the basic needs of these children, your participation could position you to connect a child in crisis to the ranch. What an opportunity to make an eternal difference in the life of a child. Thanks again.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
You and I should be joyfully sharing with others and fearlessly sharing with others the good news and praying for one another that we might do so. Third point. If you missed the second point, it was note specifically what Paul is asking them to pray for. Okay? So pray, note what he asked them to pray for. Point number three. He calls them to respond to God's love with love. Look at verses 23 and 24. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Back in chapter 3, Paul talked about what he was praying for them. In chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, he says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Then over in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We are to live a life of love because we are God's beloved. We are loved by him, and the more we know that, the more we respond by loving. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." God doesn't love us because we love him. He loved us when we didn't love him. But when we realize that he loves us, we begin to love him. And he says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Well, what do you command? Love one another. Love one another. If you want to know what that's like, you can do, I really strongly urge you to do this afternoon, give yourself a little checkup, see how you're doing. Do you ever check your pulse? See how, you know, yep, still beating. Okay. Do you ever kind of check your vitals? 1 Corinthians 13, check it when you get home. See how you're doing. If there are some shortcomings, some things you're not doing right, you don't just need to work on those things. You need to realize that the deficiency is in the area of love. And in order for you to really be filled with God's Spirit and with his love toward him and toward others, you need to pray that he will help you more and more to recognize his love for you, because that's where it comes from. If we don't feel loved, we're not going to be very loving. But if we know that God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son for us, that changes everything. Literally, that changes everything. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It's another letter not written by Paul. But in Revelation 2, 1 through 7, it is the first of the letters to the churches in the book of Revelation. and it's to the church in Ephesus. Hear the word of the Lord. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. This is a letter to the same church that Paul was writing to. And God is telling them, you're doing a lot of things right. And I'm aware of it. I know your deeds. And I know that you care about truth and that you have rightly discerned these are false teachers. Those behaviors are unacceptable. You have drawn the line. You have not budged on orthodoxy when lots of folks did. You have stayed true to the truth and you've suffered for it and you've persevered anyway. But I have a problem with you. You've lost your first love. Doing the right thing, but not out of love. Sound doctrine. The devil knows sound doctrine. And he is absolutely convinced that it's true. There's no crisis of faith on the part of the devil. He doesn't wonder if the miracles really happened. He doesn't wonder if the scriptures are accurate. He's not troubled by those things. What bothers him is his impending doom. Because even though he knows the truth, he does not love God. He hates God. Now, Jesus didn't say to the church in Ephesus, you hate me. He said, where's the love? Where's the love? I told you to give yourself a test from 1 Corinthians 13, but I'm going to take us there right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is God's word. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, martyrdom, but have not love, I gain nothing. Wow. How could that be? I mean, if I have the gift of prophecy, surely everything's good. No. No. Jesus said in Matthew 7, there will be many who will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? He says, depart from me. I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness. Oh. The Ephesians didn't practice lawlessness. I mean, they were careful. They kept sound doctrine. But the Lord says to them, you've forsaken your first love. God doesn't just want us to follow rules. He wants us. He wants us. If my precious grandchildren made sure they didn't spill at the table, and carefully cleaned up all the toys in the playroom, made sure that there was no toothpaste left in the sink upstairs. They did all those things. They said, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. But there was no love. I'd be heartbroken. They learn to follow the rules. But if they don't love us, I'd be sad. But my grandchildren keep saying and showing that they love us. We're about to go somewhere, but first let me run give Uncle Paul a hug. Why? Because that's what you do when you love somebody. They love. And that means more than all the other things that we hope they will master. Do you love God? Not how are you at keeping the rules. We all need to grow and improve. But do you love him? Are you just blown away by the fact that he would love you? Some of my best prayer times are just alone in the car driving somewhere and saying to God, stringing adjectives together, he's so wonderful. He's so wonderful. Do you understand? The creator and ruler of the universe, who knows everything about you, loves you. And not because you're so wonderful.
Yes, you just keep on knowing. You are amazing. You are unbelievable. You are magnificent.
No, that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is, he loves us. Based on who he is, it's his nature. And that's why when we've messed up, it's not like God says, oh, well, then I don't love you. God offers not just forgiveness, but transformation. And we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds, which comes through God's word. The purpose is not so that we will be really knowledgeable people. Can you say the 66 books of the Bible in order? Do you know the Ten Commandments in order? Can you recite them completely or just a little summary statement? Do you know who wrote the book of Jude? I don't mean the fact that his name was Jude. I mean, what was his relationship? Was he one of the 12? How did he get in the list? What is the deal there? Do you know these things? I can tell you. I know these things. That's not what it's about. It's about a relationship with the God who loves us so much that when we didn't have any hope, he came and paid our debt because he wanted us to be with him forever. He wants you to be part of his family. Do you believe that? Are you amazed by it? Are you astounded that God would do that for you? That God would do that for you? I hope so. Because if you grasp more and more his love for you, like Paul was praying for the Ephesians, then you will love him more and more. But don't lose sight of the fact that it's not about rules. It's about him. Love him wholeheartedly. In fact, that's the first commandment.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.